Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres beat the Mets at Petco to take the series. Today's an off day, but in studio, we've got Bill Center.
That was going to be number two. You've stolen the thunder.
I'm sorry.
All right. That wasn't fair to you viewers and listeners. I really should have led with Jesse and saved the big, exciting name for last.
But you know what my mom used to tell me? Life isn't fair.
She told you that.
A whole lot. Quite frequently.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Off day for the Padres. Not really, though. More of a travel day as they make their way to Cincinnati. A little bit overcast, a little June gloom, but not too bad here downtown Petco Park. That's where we are, the AMR studio. You're Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. That term, off day, it gets thrown around a lot by fans and by media, and the players probably chuckle a little bit because they spent half their day on an airplane to Cincinnati today.
Because usually it's either you're on the road traveling from one place to another, or like today you're heading to Cincinnati. It just doesn't, yeah. There are very few off days. The only day that is really an off day for players is when you're home and you get a rare off day between two home series. That's really the only break you ever get.
Yeah, and it happens like twice a year.
Right.
That's how infrequently that takes place. But nonetheless, it's not a game day. That might be a better way to put it.
Right.
It's not a game day for the Padres. And that's going to give us an opportunity to reflect a little bit. I would like you and I to do that, Bill, to sit here and reflect a little bit. And we'll reflect with all of you. I want to know how people feel about the Padres today, June 4th, 2015. The win last night against the Mets and the previous night against the Mets certainly leaves a much better taste in your mouth than maybe what we had as recently as 4 or 5 days ago.
Right.
So I want to kind of take stock of how we feel about this thing moving forward, because I think a lot of people feel like this team is standing on the precipice and ready to jump and ready to go in a good way.
And Buddy Black believes that too.
I know he does, and we'll certainly discuss all of that. So I want to hear what people think. You can use the hashtag PadresSH on Twitter. PadresSH is the Twitter hashtag. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to discuss. I want to know how people are feeling after the 7-3 win over the Mets last night. The Padres take 2 out of 3 from New York. They have a winning homestand, 4 wins in 7 games. Overall, they have won 6 out of 9. And now, as we said, sort of standing there, they flew to Covington, Kentucky today for their series this weekend against the Reds, then down to Atlanta for 4 games before returning home to face the Dodgers next weekend. How do we feel right here, right now, Bill Center?
Well, we are a third of the way through the season. Yesterday started the second third of the season. I'm beginning to really feel I'm optimistic about the second third. And one of the reasons, they're 27 and 28, and for the first third of the season, they spent almost all of that third playing teams with winning records. Would I like to see them like 5 games above .500? Absolutely. But I do think that they are poised with a healthy Alonso, with Morrow getting healthy, with Myers now, his time schedule seems to be advancing. I think that they are poised to really make a little bit of a run here as they enter, outside of the Dodgers, a part of the season where the schedule's not quite as tough.
That is, I think, the hope for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I think that's the feeling right now, and it's amazing how quickly it can turn. You know, you're maybe halfway through that Pirates series. Forget that. You have the walk-off Grand Slam Saturday night against Pittsburgh, right? Derek Norris, we're all excited. Everybody's feeling good. And then it doesn't go as well
right.
The next day, right? So then what? Well, then the Mets come in, and they beat you in the first game of the series, and it's discouraging, and Jacob DeGrom takes a perfect game into the sixth inning, and you don't even sniff it. But then you beat up on the Mets
right. A
couple of nights, including, you know, Syndergaard, who's had a great start to his big league career, and it's like, all right, you're heading off on a good note here.
And you get 7 runs on the night against Syndergaard, where Kemp and Upton go a combined 0-for-8, I think, with 0-for-9 with 6 strikeouts. So it was other people, Will Middlebrooks, Will Venable, Amarista. You've had other people contributing, and I just think that they are poised for the start of a roll.
All right. Start of a roll sounds good. We like the way start of a roll sounds. As we said, we'll check in what you guys think throughout the day using the hashtag PadresSH. One of the reasons I bring this up is, you know, at the start of June, I think we saw a lot of – you can go ahead and turn it off. You don't have to be coy about it. Everybody heard it. You forgot to turn your ringer off. It's fine, Bill.
I've had things going on.
I know. You've had a very busy couple of days with your family. Congratulations, by the way, a new grandson.
Right. It's John Samuel.
John Samuel.
And we're going to call him Sammy.
Right. So right out of the chute, the kid is going to be known by his middle name, and he has no say in the matter whatsoever.
None whatsoever. They're already calling him Sammy. Cameron and Jonathan, so I've got that's their second child, granddaughter Phoebe, and now grandson John Samuel.
Sammy and Phoebe.
Right.
Very cute. So congratulations
to
you and your family. So, no, I don't blame you for having the ringer on. I blame you only for trying to look slick, getting into your pocket and trying to turn it off. Nobody's worried about it. So congratulations to the Center family, extended and immediate. So June is the new page in the calendar. And I think when the new page in the calendar is flipped up, everybody sort of says, all right, let's look at this thing. And there were a lot of stories this week about, hey, the standings last year on June 1st and how they ended up. And I think those are easy to sort of roll over, but I think they're important to talk about. So I've got it here. Last year at the beginning of June, the six first-place teams, so National League, you know, East Central West, American League, East Central West, Toronto, Detroit, Oakland in the American League, Atlanta, Milwaukee, San Francisco in the National League. Only one of those teams ended up winning their division,
right?
The Tigers. Only one team out of six that was leading their division on June 1st last season won their division. And only three of those teams, half of them, made the playoffs, including the Giants, of course, who would win the World Series, but as a wild card. So three of the six made the playoffs. One of the six won the division. And I think that that is another good reminder that – you know, this thing is still pretty early on, and a lot of crazy stuff can happen between now and the beginning of October.
And two Junes ago, in the National League West, at the start of June, the Dodgers were in last place in the division and won. We are only a third of the way. Like, this is not a sprint, like we've said all along. This is a marathon. And I do think that the Padres getting healthy, I think they're poised to make a run. And I just feel the starting pitching is coming around. The bullpen's beginning to you're beginning to get the results from the bullpen. The closer right now is still a little bit shaky, but the other parts of the bullpen have settled down, and the offense is beginning to generate runs, just not from the three and four positions where we know Kemp's off to a slow start, but from other spots, and I am very encouraged.
Absolutely. All right, so let's look at the standings for right now.
Okay.
For the Padres. So the Dodgers are in first place. They are two games in front of the Giants and five games in front of the Padres. Now, look, I think for the Padres, my focus is let's get a couple over 500 before we really start, you know, getting in there. But as long as we're talking about standings, let's do it. San Diego's 27-28, five games behind the Dodgers, three games behind the Giants, which means they're also three games out of a wild card spot. That's nothing.
No.
That's a good weekend. And so I think it's another good reminder that while things have not been ideal by any stretch of the imagination for the Padres, right? The pitching, as you said, just now starting to get going. The offense has been there at times. It's been completely absent at other moments so far this season. But maybe that's the good news. Maybe the good news is it hasn't fully clicked yet, unless the last two nights of the start of that, when certainly it has all come together against the Mets, 7-2 and 7-3. And they're still very much within striking distance here of a wild card and, obviously, the division as well, just five games in back of the Dodgers, who you have three with next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend here at Petco Park. So I think all things considered, that's sort of like the phrase that keeps coming into my mind. All things considered, we got to feel okay about the deal right now.
There are two things I'd like to see happen in the second third of the season. One, I'd like to see them get on a roll where they win six or seven straight games, not win two, lose one, win one, lose two. I'd like to see them get on a little bit of a winning streak. And the second thing, I'd like to see them take series from the Dodgers and the Giants.
Okay.
beat the teams that are in front of you.
So that's a funny thing, you know, and I kind of remember back to the beginning of the season when the Padres were maybe winning, you know, more games than they were in the middle part so far, at least. And, you know, they were sort of, quote-unquote, beating up on some other teams. And they had some struggles against the Dodgers, and they had some struggles against the Giants. And people were pointing out, well, hey, these are the teams that are going to be in the playoffs. You want to have, you know, a good track record against them. I don't buy into that as much now. I buy into you want to beat the Dodgers and you want to beat the Giants because that's the easiest way to close the gap
right.
in the standings. That's the main thing.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, like, for me, October is about getting hot. And there's a randomness to that that's very uncomfortable. There's a randomness to that that makes us all kind of sit around and say, well, that doesn't sound like something that could be anybody's fault or give credit to anybody. But we've watched this game now over the last decade, and it isn't the 110-win team that's going to the World Series
right.
most
no,
times.
I agree with you.
It's the hot team. And the Padres are more than capable of getting hot and beating the Giants or the Dodgers or whatever other quality opponent you want to throw out there in a best-of-five or, ideally, down the line, a best-of-seven in the playoffs. So I get what you're saying about, you know, closing the gap. I just want them to collect wins. Like, you know, if they sweep this road trip and then lose 2 out of 3 with the Dodgers, I'll take that over, you know, taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers and having a 500 road trip. I just want to collect wins, collect, like a hoarder.
Well, I want wins, but I also, you're going to have to, I mean, you got to make inroads on these teams that are in the playoffs, one way or the other. Either beat everybody else or beat them head-to-head. Collecting wins is great, but you've still got to get yourself in position
right.
to get into the playoffs.
And the easiest way to do that is to handle your
right.
division. No, that's all very fair and very true. All right, so anyway, like I said, I wanted to take a step back, take a look at the standing situation, kind of talk about where everybody was at this point last year, and discuss it. When we return, we got a lot of questions coming in via the chat at Padres.com/socialhour, also via Twitter on the hashtag PadresSH. We'll also discuss a little bit more in depth last night's game, some of the things we liked, and a real tragedy around Major League Baseball, as far as I'm concerned today. Not a real tragedy, a baseball tragedy. The Astros announced today that they will, after this season, be removing Towels Hill from center field at Minute Maid Park. Now, I think Minute Maid Park is one of the dumbest ballparks in baseball. I hate the train. I hate those stupid boxes in left field where
Crawford
you hit the ball
boxes, I hate that.
210 feet for a home run.
I saw Damian Jackson there get a grand slam home run into the Crawford boxes on a pitch that shattered his bat, broke it in two.
That's it. So there's a lot of things I don't like about Minute Maid. But I've always liked that stupid hill.
And absolutely.
And I get that it's stupid, but I've always liked it. But anyway, they're getting rid of it. So Brian McTaggart, who does a great job covering the Astros for MLB.com, will join us in about 20 minutes or so. And we'll hear the Houston perspective on this thing. For all I know, the Astro fans, they love the train and they hate the hill. And so they're just, feeding their constituency what they want. But we'll get into that a little bit. And I know, by the way, most people hate the hill. Most people detest the hill, but I love it.
I like it.
I love it. All right. Saturday, June 13th marks the season's first summer Sky Blast show. Stay after the 7:10 game against the Dodgers to relax and watch Petco Park's largest fireworks display set to music from the 80s. Buy your tickets now at Padres.com or at the box office. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun. Big Dodger game followed by the biggest fireworks show of the year. Your questions and more on last night's game when we return. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres had a 7-3 win over the Mets last night. They take 2 out of 3 from New York and now on to Cincinnati, site of this year's All-Star Game. Hopefully a bunch of the Padres will be back in Cincinnati next month. And that's not often something you say. Let's hope someone you like is in Cincinnati in July. This year, it is something you say. And I know you're from you're born in that area.
Right.
But, you know, it's not the most pleasant in July.
No.
No.
It's not pleasant a lot of the times.
How old were you when you moved out of there?
I was 5.
So you barely remember.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I do remember something.
What do you remember? How nasty it is?
No, actually.
By the way, every fan of a National League or American League Central team is going to hate my guts by the end of this season. It seems like every time we're talking about one of those locales,
right.
I have like some nasty little remark.
The only thing I really remember from Cincinnati is little girl next door saying goodbye when we were leaving. That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. You didn't keep in touch like through email or anything?
Yeah, let me see. What did we have? We had tin cans and a string back then.
Yeah, like, running from her house to your house.
Right,
yeah,
right, 2,500 miles.
That was your communication extravaganza. All right, let's get to some Twitters, some Twitter questions. Let's fire these up. They've been coming in with the hashtag PadresSH, and the very first one comes to us via Gilbert, who says, the Padres need to step up their game. Lineup needs consistency. Pitching needs to get better. Offense needs to get better. That's what we've seen the last couple of nights, and that's the encouraging thing. But I suppose, yeah, his overall point is what we've all been saying.
Well, I think we've seen the pitching getting better for the last 2 weeks outside of one start by Kennedy. It's really been pretty solid two full turns through the rotation. So I think the pitching is coming around. It's getting the offense to be consistent now. And what they've had this year is you've had a lot of 11-run wins and 7-0 wins. And on the flip side, really bad losses. You haven't had a lot of close games. I think this is a team that's sort of set up to win close games. The pitching keeps going where it is. I think they're going to be in good shape.
Okay, you feel good about that. Let's bring up the next tweet that has come in over the course of the day today. Tucker says, hey, Shields has to get voted hashtag ASG worthy. Most strikeouts in the National League. He's 7-0. Tucker, bad news. You can't vote for pitchers.
Right. You can't vote for pitchers. Right.
Those are selected by the manager of the All-Star team and with help from the different managers and maybe pitching coaches around baseball.
I got Shields on my All-Star team.
I would say it's a pretty good lock. For as much as I like to say win-loss record for a pitcher isn't that big of a deal, when a guy like James Shields is 7-0, that's something that people are going to notice and pay attention
you
to
know
in
what
that
he,
situation.
I love James Shields because he pitches to win. And I'll try to explain what I mean.
Please,
here.
Yes.
That no matter what the situation, he finds a way to be on top. Yes, he's given up 15 home runs. 13 of those are solo shots. A lot of them haven't been involved in the result. When he is pitching, his club is usually ahead no matter what the score is. If it's a low-scoring game, he's still on top. If it's a high-scoring game, he's on top. He changes how he pitches a little bit. If he's got a big lead, he's working to get outs. He's working not to walk people. He's working to get through. If he's got a small lead, he pitches a lot differently. James Shields is a winning pitcher.
Last night, 7 innings for Shields, 2 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, and everything you just said was right. He had the run support. He's not going to get concerned with striking guys out. He's not going to, quote-unquote, need to strike guys out because he's in some sort of jam. You know, first and second, nobody out. You want the K. He wasn't in that position. He was pitching to contact. He was pitching to get outs. It's exactly what you want out of a guy in that situation.
And he got the double play grounders twice when he needed them. The stat that sticks out with me on a pitcher is what the team's record is when he's pitching. And the Padres are 9-3 when James Shields starts a game, and they've won the last 7 games that he started. To me, those are significant statistics.
I agree with all of that, and they certainly are. So how about the help he got? Will Middlebrooks with his second 3 RBI game in the last few days. That was nice.
Third
and 8 games, even better. Venable, a 2-run single after he had a 2-run triple the night before. We saw the bottom three in the order, Middlebrooks, Spangenberg, and Amarista, for a second consecutive night, really play a role in the run scoring. There was no Upton homer. There was no big double from Kemp.
No.
And while you'd love to see those things, you really love the Padres contributing or getting contributions offensively from all these different places.
Right. And they won with Norris, Kemp, and Upton not contributing a lot, contributing a little. But it was Venable, Amarista, Middlebrooks. And that says an awful lot about the way this team is beginning to come around.
No doubt about all of that. All right, I think Big Ahi is on Twitter. Blooper, do you have Big Ahi? He wants to make a point about things that have been going well for the Pods. And he says having Yonder back has been huge. Can't wait for Will Myers to get back as well. We got to talk about Yonder Alonso. He's right.
Actually, that was the next thought I was going to have. Is
I knew Yonder. That, and that's why we got to Ahi right in time.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Yonder is a very important member of this ball club. And I know at the start of the season, even when Will Myers started playing first, there was talk about, well, Yonder's, you know, we don't need Yonder anymore. I think Yonder is extremely significant to the success of this team. When he is on, high batting average, high on base percentage, he gets on an awful lot. If he's Yes. Is he hitting home runs? He's not a home run hitter. But he moves hitters along, and he gets on in front of hitters. And I think that is incredibly important. And the other thing is he is a good defensive first baseman. And for everything that Solarte did while Myers and Alonso were on the disabled list, he doesn't give you the defense at first that Alonso and actually Myers gives you.
Solarte had really worked hard at it. You
Absolutely.
Could see there were great strides defensively. Watching Yonder the last two nights, I said, that's right. It's different.
It is a lot different.
It's just different. He's giving you stretches, you know, on close plays. He's sure-handed. You never are concerned about it. And it's so easy to take that for granted. I compare it to, like, when you've got a really good defensive center fielder after you've watched an average, you know, defender in center field, and then all of a sudden an above-average guy pops up. You know, you're watching another team or whatever, and you go, oh, man, now I see the difference. That's how it was at first base for me. With Yonder the last two nights, you saw him make a bunch of plays, and you're like, yeah, that's right. This guy's a really, really good first baseman.
I'm going to say one other thing is that with Yonder at first and his ability to snap tag on pickoff throws, a runner takes about a half a foot less knowing that he's got to get back. Solarte was never played first base, a little bit slow on the pickoff tag. Yonder is very quick on the pickoff tag. And that shortens up the lead that a guy can take.
It's a huge help to everybody and everything.
All the way around, this club's better with Yonder Alonso at first base.
It's funny because one of the questions I think we've probably gotten 500 times in the last 3 weeks is, okay, what happens when Alonso is back and Myers is back? And Buddy Black, and I agree with this, has continued to say, we'll see how everybody's doing if and when we get to that point. And obviously we all hope that it's soon. That was kind of the back end of Ahi's point. But I've heard people suggest maybe you put Alonso, you try him at third, you know, all these different ideas in order to sort of, you know, have everybody in the lineup at the same time. Watching him at first base the last couple of nights, as I said, it's a reminder that's his home. That's where he's at his best.
I might try Myers at third before I try Alonso at third. I mean, Myers has played third before.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what's going to –
But by the way, Middlebrooks is hitting now.
Right. And so, yeah. I mean, Myers back in center. The only thing that Myers concerns me in center are balls hit over his head. Mm. He is not as good as Venable, and he's not as good as Melvin Upton Jr., who's only got 10 more days on rehab before you have to call him up and do something with him.
Yeah.
And Melvin Upton Jr. is probably one of the best center fielders in the game. So it's going to be – you're going to find spots for these guys.
You got to figure it out one way or the other.
Right.
And it'll be interesting. It'll be very, very interesting. All right, we talked about the schedule earlier. Padres fan Cal in the live chat said, hey, except for the series against the Dodgers, Giants, Cardinals, schedule much easier up to the All-Star break. That's a trap you can fall into and say, hey, it's an easy trip. Hey, Cincinnati, beatable. Right. Atlanta, beatable. And then the next thing you know, it's a disaster. But it has been a really tough schedule for the Padres so far, and it is going to soften up a little bit. And look, players and managers hate to hear this.
Right.
Right. If a player or a manager were sitting next to us now, they would be like, man, it's a major league team.
Right.
There are no gimmies. But that said, it does soften up a little bit.
Right. And with the one thing that you don't face with the teams with losing records over winning records is generally you don't have the strong pitching 1 through 5. And that's the one area where you can take advantage of.
Right. All right, one more tweet here before we take the break. It comes from our buddy Ghost of Ray Kroc. It was nice to see him yesterday. He wants to know how long before somebody makes a fake Sammy Twitter. Please don't make a fake Sammy Twitter.
No.
Sammy is your new grandson.
Right.
Sammy Central or something like that. Somebody could make
it. No, I don't want to. I'm not giving out his last name.
Padres Sammy.
No, yeah, we don't need a Sammy.
We don't need a Sammy Twitter.
Right.
All right. No, I agree with that. He's like 3 days old, right?
Yeah, 3 days old.
He doesn't need a Twitter.
Right.
Not at least until he's one. Maybe we'll get Sammy
a Twitter when he's one.
Yeah. You got to lock up his name, you know, so nobody else takes
right.
it.
Right. Okay.
Because that way, when he is old enough to use Twitter, because of course in 10 years we're still going to be tweeting, you know, he'll have his name all reserved. Maybe you should do that. Just reserve his name.
Just figure out what we want it to be.
Yeah. Or just use his first and last name. You know, mine is Jesse Agler. You know, yours is Padre Central. Bloopers is whatever his is. Just have it ready. Have it reserved. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the demolition of Towels Hill in Houston. Sad day for Major League
it
Baseball.
Is, to me.
That the Astros have decided to get rid of their stupid hill in center field. Ryan McTaggart.
Stupid.
It is stupid. I like it, but it's stupid.
No, I understand the history part that why it's there.
Yeah. No, me too.
Yeah.
Brian McTaggart, MLB.com. He covers the Astros. He'll join us when we return. To guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game at Petco Park, become a Padres season ticket member at the gold or platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets. To learn more, visit Padres.com/ASG. Padres.com/ASG. They got all the deets, all the infos. You check it out there. Take a break, come back, talk about the Astros stadium decision right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Bloopers trying to track down Brian McTaggart of MLB.com. He covers the Astros. Talk to him about the architectural changes that the Astros announced today for Minute Maid Park in Houston. If you haven't heard, they said they're going to get rid of the hill in center field, Towels Hill, as they call it, and they're going to have a normal center field. It's 436 feet out there right now with the hill and the flagpole. They're going to bring it in to be a normal distance, no more hill, and it'll just be sort of a standard thing from now on. This disappoints both you and I because we are people who like the hill, but we are very much in the minority, I realize. People, I learned a long time ago, Bill, they are obsessed with symmetry. They don't like things out of the norm. There's a comfort zone most people have with most things, and a hill with a flagpole in center field is out of that comfort zone, so they don't like it. But that was why I liked it. It was quirky and weird and different, if it were stupid.
I'm just the opposite. Okay. I love ballparks that have quirks that aren't symmetric. That, like, I like the wall in Boston because there's nothing quite like it. I mean, yeah, does it play fair? No. So what? I like the wall. I just don't like these cookie cutter outfielders. Outfields. I like Petco because it's got a couple different angles at different places, and I really like the hill. I like because it reminded me of Crosley Field in Cincinnati where. That old ballpark, the left field, because it was short. The left field was a bank that went up to a short fence. But to hit a home run, it wasn't like you just had to hit it 295 feet. You had to hit it 295 and up over the height of the wall because it was up on top of the hill. So, yes, I like the hill. I hate to see it go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But the Astros are going to redo some things there. It's like a $15 million renovation. They're going to add a party deck in center field, a lot of the things that you're seeing other teams do with their facilities, but at the cost of the hill. So the hill will be no more, and we'll hope to talk to Brian McTaggart about that coming up in a little bit. Meanwhile, we mentioned a few minutes ago the new addition to your family, your grandson, Sammy. Congratulations again. So you were buying Sammy some stuff here at the team store, I know.
Right.
And I don't know a lot about kids, but one thing I know is if you got two little kids, like a brother and a sister, and you buy something for the brother, you better buy something for the sister.
Absolutely.
That's one of those things I know, because if you buy something only for the one kid, the other kid, forget about it.
Right.
Right? That's like the only thing I know about kids. So you got your granddaughter Phoebe, a very – how old is she, three?
She's three.
I mean, this is like the cutest little thing I've ever seen in my life. They have a little kid Padre jersey, and you had them right here in the store. Give it the number 19 and the Gwynn name.
Right. My favorite all-time Padre.
That's,
she gets to wear it.
That's very cute.
Of course, if it was a surprise, it could now be blown.
Are you?
She's three.
She's not watching Padres Social Hour.
Actually,
this is TV 14. She's not allowed to watch this.
It.
I say bad words sometimes.
She watches.
Not
it.
Really bad words, but like semi. I'll say the H word sometimes
right.
on here.
But
like once a month.
The first time they had it on, and this is a true story. The first time they had it on at the Wheeler home, she was watching TV. And I happened to be hosting that day, and she looked at the TV, and she goes, Grandpa? So she is already a fan.
Oh, my goodness.
I might be able to get an autograph for her view.
I'm happy to sign anything for a small fee. It's not a problem. But that concerns me that there's a three-year-old watching this show. Go to Sesame Street or something.
Oh, she watches that.
Okay, good.
Thomas the Train, Sesame Street.
That's
yes.
what SpongeBob, right? That's a big
right.
one
oh,
in
yeah.
your household?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, very cute.
Who lives
with
in the pineapple under the sea?
I know you know the song. You
oh,
can
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Start from the beginning so I can hear. I don't know the song. I would like to learn the song.
I will teach you.
Go ahead.
I'll write down. No, we're not doing it now.
Well, I learn much better hearing something like that than I do reading it.
You just enjoy embarrassing me. By the way, I've had people talk to me about the hat.
About the Scouts hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What about it?
That they think that I should get a different hat that makes me look less like a doofus.
I mean, it's sun protection
when you're scouting. There are other hats up there I could be wearing.
I'm not in charge of props.
Hat selection.
I don't take credit or blame for props. Blooper is in charge of props.
Uh-huh.
Among the many things that he does, he chooses the props for these sorts of things. All this stuff behind us, the cool stuff, I take no credit for how neat it looks. That's all Blooper and Becky.
And by the way, this I love this set. I love where it is.
I take no credit for that.
The job that Blooper did on building this set is, I give him high marks.
And Becky. She did most of it.
Right.
So anyway, back to the hill for a second. Somebody in the chat was like, well, isn't it dangerous for center fielders? And over the years, I think that's probably the thing I've heard the most, you know, from people who don't like it. I would say no. No, it is not dangerous. Has anyone ever gotten hurt on the hill? We can ask McTaggart. None. Nobody's ever gotten hurt.
Right. I have seen a couple catches up there.
And that's great.
And I think it's sensational that somebody can run up that hill and make the catch. Michael Bourne, as Becky pointed out, I have to say nice things because I didn't include her on the set design. But Michael Bourne, I saw make at least one really sensational catch up there.
There's a famous Beltran catch. It was like in the 14th inning when he was with the Mets. There's a great Lance Berkman catch up there. It adds to the level of difficulty. It's fun. It's different. It's unique. Like I said, I love the hill. I love the hill. And they've taken it away. So what can you do? We'll take a break. When we come back, Blooper will try again with Brian McTaggart. If he doesn't want to talk to us about the hill, we will move on from the hill. Somebody suggested a hill at Petco. I don't know that we've got room for a hill at Petco.
No.
They're resodding out there, by the way, I saw.
Yes, 20,000 square feet.
Some of that dead grass from the concert, they're resodding. So that'll look nice and pretty after this road trip when the next homestand begins.
Actually, it was beginning to grow back. I had noticed that from the start of the last homestand to the end, a lot in right center had already started to regreen, but they've decided to resod it. But when the Dodgers come in here, we're going to have Petco Park looking like Petco Park.
It'll be nice and green and beautiful, and that's good. But, yeah, no, I don't know that we've got room for a hill here. We do have a new quirk this year, though, right outside our window. We've got the little 5-foot fence, or the 4-foot fence.
We've got a lot of little quirks in this ballpark.
Got the Petco porch in right field.
Right.
You got the AMR down the line suite here in left field with the 5-foot wall.
Right. Left field now, you can make leaping catches at the wall all the way around this ballpark. And I like the fact that the walls here still give the outfielders a chance to go up and make a leaping catch.
It's one of the most fun plays in baseball.
Right.
We saw Will Venable do it to Mike Trout last week.
Rob him of a home run.
It's exciting. And, you're seeing now, even on home runs that end up like 3, 4, 5, 6 rows back, the left fielders here are still going up on the wall just knowing that they can. And eventually, somebody is going to make a ridiculous catch out there because
of
that. There's going to be a ball that looked like it was going to the second row, and Justin Upton or somebody is going to be hanging up there, and he's going to make a great catch, and we're all going to go crazy.
You know, and another thing I like about this ballpark is there are strange angles right down the line where if a ball goes into the corner, you don't know if it's going to come out at a weird angle or stick in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I just like the fact that there is no absolute read on this ballpark that things can change at any time.
That's a little bit of a home field advantage,
right,
too, for the guys that get to play 81 games here as opposed to 9 for a division team visiting or opposed to, 3 or 4 for a non-division team visiting. It's an advantage, certainly, for the Padres. All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and with Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, and when we come back, get to some more of your questions. RJ's fro, he likes quirks. I'll tell you about his quirky idea when we return. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Padres were on their United charter today, heading from Lindbergh Field in downtown San Diego up to Covington, Kentucky. That's where the Cincinnati Airport is, just over the Ohio-Kentucky border. And they'll be getting ready for a three-game weekend series against the Cincinnati Reds. We're talking a lot here about ballpark quirks because the Astros decided to get rid of the hill after this season. So we're going to put Bill on the Cholula hot seat, and we're going to throw some quirky things at you, and we're going to see how you respond.
Okay.
Are you prepared for
I'm
this?
I'm ready.
All right. RJ's throw, he suggested a palm tree at second base. Not a bad thought. I mean, if you're going to do something really crazy, why not, you know, make it local and just, you know, plant a palm tree behind the bag at second?
Make it the bag at second. Have run around, grab a pond frond just to prove that you were there. Move on to the next base.
Not bad at all. Garrick says, all right, guys, if no hill at Petco, and we said we don't really know where they'd put a hill. Plus, at this point, it's derivative, and you want to be original. Garrick says, how about a wall with a tall angle like at Ebbets Field? In Brooklyn. He uses the hashtag ballpark nerd, which I appreciate and like. All right, so what would you like to see here? What if we could do something, you know, and again, there are some quirks here.
Right.
There really are, and I think people should appreciate them. The porch in right field, the Petco porch, especially now the 5-foot wall in left field, the 7-foot high wall that goes throughout most of left field. But if you wanted something even quirkier, what would you suggest here at Petco Park? Let your imagination run wild.
Quirkier here at Petco Park. I'd like to see, actually, if you took that porch and lowered it, so it was like, you had even a better shot at a home run, or an outfielder would have to go over there and could make a catch, a leaping catch, at that low screen.
I like that.
Now, one of the quirks of Petco Park that I really like is a line drive hit down the line and left. If it catches the net where the door opens to the groundskeeper's office, if it hits that soft fence, it dies there. If it hits just to the one side of it, the bricks, it shoots out. I like that. I think that the left field corner here is one of the quirkier things I've seen. It plays differently almost every ball hit down here. Sometimes the ball will roll along the fence. Other times it will sort of bounce out. So if it hits the mesh, it doesn't come out at all. And that's one of the quirks I really like about this ballpark.
That's a good point. Let me go back to the first one you said, though, that Petco porch in right field down the line. Yeah, if you bring those walls down a little bit, it would only come into play, I think, you know, a handful of times over the course of the season. But that could be a lot of fun. That's a good one. We'll put you on the committee.
The redesign committee?
Yeah, the redesign committee. Caesar wants to see palm trees beyond the outfield fence like at Qualcomm.
Larry Lucchino's palm trees.
Really nice.
Right.
It was a really nice touch. I remember, again, you know, being like a kid in Florida, that was the thing I thought of when I thought of the Padres in that era,
right,
were those palm trees.
You know, I've already had one idea which is incorporated into this ballpark.
Really?
Yeah. The first year that that Petco Park was open, the batter's eye was blue. And I told him that just stood out. It really made it look horrible. And I said, you got to bring it together, everything, to make it look, you know, the same shade. So,
So you changed the shade.
Did they
send you out there with like a paint roller and you had to do it yourself?
No, but I thought that it was really sort of an extreme looking monstrosity. Actually, it was green. It was green back then.
Got it.
It was the green monstrosity is what I called it.
That's a very nice way of putting it. All right, so as we continue here talking about this, do you have a favorite and least favorite quirk ballparks? And feel free to go back in time. You know, the extreme center field at the Polo Grounds. I know you're not a fan of the Crawford boxes in Houston. Favorite and least favorite ballpark quirks for Bill Center and for anybody on Twitter or in the chat?
I hate the Crawford boxes. To me, that just makes the a drive to left too cheap home run Crawford boxes. I hate it. My favorite quirk of a ballpark? I'm trying to think right now. Well, the green monster in left at Boston, I think, is fascinating because, one, you have to hit it over to get the home run. But you outfielders, I love watching outfielders play balls off of there, holding runners to singles. The good ones can do it. The bad ones seem to botch it every time.
Mm-hmm.
I love the left field wall at Fenway. Remember Memorial? Well, you don't remember, of course, because you weren't born then. but Memorial Coliseum in L.A. when the Dodgers first moved.
Oh, yeah, left field.
Right, 250 feet down the line, and they had this huge screen that they put up. And the Dodgers had a left-handed hitter named Wally Moon who developed an inside-out swing, and he had the ability just to loft fly balls and drop him in over that screen. Moonshots, they called him.
Moonshots, because that was his name. Yeah, no, I've seen pictures of the L.A. Coliseum set up for Dodger baseball. Didn't they play like an exhibition at the end of spring training like 3 years ago there as part of the anniversary, or something? So probably 2012? 2010, whatever it was, I remember they had an exhibition game there, and they set it up that way again, and it was crazy to see it. It really was.
Oh, yeah.
Green Monster, interestingly, by the way, that was like a form and function thing. You know, that just because of the way that is nestled into that neighborhood, Fenway Park.
Right down the street.
Right. They didn't have room to have a deeper left field wall, so it had to be kind of shallow. And so to sort of make up for the fact that it was only however many feet down the line, they built a big fence. That's how that all started.
And interesting, there are other ballparks, like Wrigley Field. Left field is right there against the street.
Yes.
And same way with Fenway. And it's interesting how some of the old ballparks that fit the neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's what they had to do.
Right.
All right, that was Bill Center on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Take a break, come back, more Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Petco Park. Bill Center, Jesse Agler, Padres Social Hour. Tomorrow, a 3 p.m. Padres Social Hour. We go right into the games for these early games in Cincinnati and then Atlanta. You'll be here. I will not. Ben Higgins will be hosting tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday. I got a wedding. One of my best friends are getting married this weekend, and it worked out that I was able to head back east for a quick trip. So I'll be gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But we've got you covered, of course. Nothing to worry about. We're talking a lot about ballpark quirks today. A couple of tweets came in as we discuss what we'd like to see. And, you know, RJ Sproul mentioned putting a palm tree at second base. Obviously can't really do that. But the big Padre fan in Australia, who's a big fan of the show, I don't even know how to say his name, but he says there's a historical tree on a cricket oval in Canterbury, Kent, in England, that the cricket club play at. So there's a big tree in the oval, and I imagine it's in play.
Right.
So sort of like the flagpole in Houston,
so
I guess.
Right, in the outfield. And by the way, Blooper mentioned that one of the really interesting quirks in the major leagues is the foul pole here on the building at the
Western Metal,
the Western Metal building. Any ball that hits is foul will hit and go into the stands, and if it's fair, will go out into the field.
I don't know that I call the Western Metal building itself a quirk, but it's one of the great features of any ballpark.
Right. And
in
the
this
foul
country.
Pole right at the corner of the building is a quirk.
Yeah, okay. No, that's a good one. That's a really good one, Blooper. Nice job.
Blooper did a nice job there.
Yeah, that's the first time today. Nice job by him. Dave Parrick, the unofficial show statistician, checks in about quirks. He goes, what about beach sand as the warning track in the outfield? No. 1,000 times
Dave,
no, Dave.
Like you, Dave, but
he's kidding, right?
Right, I hope.
He's smarter than that. No, that's like guys blowing out knees all the time, constantly. I like where his head is at. It's outside of the box, but no
too far
beach
outside
sand,
the box.
No beach sand warning tracks. During your next trip to Petco Park, check out a seat at The Rail, presented by Montalvo Tequila. This bar rail seating area is in the Western Metal Building and features in-seat waiter service and great views of the field. Buy tickets to sit at The Rail at Padres.com. That's a great little different kind of thing that this building and this ballpark present to you. We'll take a break, come back, and we got to wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Tomorrow, game one of a three-game set between the Padres and the Reds from Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Jellyman tweeted during the break, he's made an observation. Jellyman's observation is that James Shields is on pace to throw 226 innings this year. I'll trust his math. I didn't have time to double-check it. But if that's the case, that sounds about right, because last year, James Shields threw 227 innings. So he's right on pace to do what he did last season with Kansas City.
He's he is a workhorse. I mean, he is a legitimate. And, you know, you don't have to. An ace of the staff is somebody who is a stopper. He's dependable. He's out there. He wins games. James Shields is an ace.
He has not thrown fewer than 226 innings since 2010. When he threw 203 innings and had 28 decisions. This guy is good for 33, 34 starts a year, and that's one of the reasons the Padres paid him the big bucks.
Has the longest active streak of games, five innings or more in a major league.
Yes, he does. 50 of them. Hey, this was fun. Ben Higgins and Bill Center tomorrow at 3 p.m. Have a good night.